Tim Upshulte and Jed Marshall behind the glass, trying to make sense of what's going on with this Yahoo and Miami Hurricane article. But now, time to shift gears, talking National Football League, specifically the AFC West. Let's go live out to San Diego, talk to John Gennaro. BoltsFromTheBlue.com, SB Nation site. He is like the equivalent of Joel Foreman over at ArrowheadPride.com. Good evening, John.
Good evening. That's about the highest praise you could have ever given me.
To be compared to Joel Foreman at Arrowhead Pride, I guess he ran into you at Vegas recently. How was that?
We had a good time. We probably could have had more fun, and that's probably somewhere in our future, but we had a good time together.
Interesting rivals from the AFC West to somebody that studies the Chiefs as intently as Joel Foreman does, and someone with the Chargers like you, John. Kind of an interesting pair. Did you let any Oakland writers hang out with you guys?
No, Joel told me that the equivalent of me and Joel, who writes for Silver and Black Pride, SB Nation's Oakland Raiders site, is your typical Oakland Raiders fan, and that's really all I needed to know. That I'm not sad that I missed him.
I should do a conference call sometime with all you guys from the AFC West on, and just have a
let them go, man,
and let Jed hold the dump button for the Oakland guy.
We'll all get a little nasty with each other.
What's going on with the San Diego Chargers? You know, not a lot of talk about the Chargers this year. They've kind of just flown under the radar. But, you know, Philip Rivers likes that role for the Chargers.
You know what? Everyone likes that role for the Chargers. The GM, the coach, the quarterback, the wide receivers, the tight end, the defense. Everyone on this team, you know, it started about a year or two ago, is really tired of being hyped up as, you know, the team. And this year, because of what happened with them last year, they don't even have to deal with that. And I think they're really happy with their role of not quite the underdog, but not favorited to do anything. And so they're living really with their own expectations and nobody else's.
Well, when you look at the, you know, key re-signings for the Chargers, obviously Vincent Jackson, Stephen Cooper, Malcolm Floyd. You bring in Laurent Robinson from the Rams as wide receiver. You know, Bob Sanders comes in there. But, you know, with Takiyo Spikes, we'll see what these guys have left in the tank. You didn't lose a whole lot, did San Diego. But, you know, these North Turner starts, man, he gets starting off slow at the season, John. Has there been any kind of emphasis about getting off to a hot start for the San Diego Chargers?
Absolutely. And I've been delighted with how open they've been about this week. They're going to Dallas to play the Cowboys on national TV on Sunday night. The Chargers will be in Dallas. They're flying there tomorrow. And then they're playing, they're practicing against the Cowboys on Thursday and Friday of this week. And North Turner said, you know, this is a big change. We've never really practiced against another team. And we're doing it because we need to get an emphasis on getting revved up early, getting ready early, being ready when the season starts and not falling behind.
When you take a look at this AFC West, you know, just trying to put my finger on it, I don't like what's happened in Oakland. They've just lost too much. I mean, you're bringing in a new coach in Hugh Jackson. Obviously, he was on the staff a season ago. I do like their assistant coaches in Kevin Ross and Rod Woodson, Al Saunders. You know, guys that, you know, we have some of those guys that played the game and guys like Al Saunders that have coached the game and have success wherever they've gone. But they've lost too much for me, for my taste. And the quarterback play, not sure of it. Denver's going through a transition period now. You had, are they going to trade Kyle Orton to Miami? You didn't know. You had Tim Tebow. Some people say he should be the starter. Obviously, Kyle Orton's probably the best bet. John Fox kind of took over a mess in Denver. I think it takes him about a year to get going. I think he starts defensively first before they start sprinkling in some players on offense. So right now, I see a two-horse race for this division between San Diego and Kansas City.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I think everyone else does too, except for the occasional delusional Raiders or Broncos fan. I was having a conversation with one of our writers on the site today, and he said to him it feels like there's two possible outcomes with this season. It could either be a very entertaining, down-to-the-wire race between the Chiefs or the Chargers, or the Chargers are going to run away with it. And the two things that we decided could really determine which of those outcomes we see as happening are luck with injuries. Obviously, the Chiefs didn't play too well when Matt Cassel went down last year. Obviously, the Chargers wouldn't play too well if Philip Rivers went down. There's a lot of other key guys that if they were to get injured would, you know, it could be the difference of a few games there. And also, with as much credit as I gave to Charlie Weiss and as much as I feared him coming in last year and what he would do for that offense and what I feel like he did, I feel like the Chiefs' tougher schedule this year, which is significantly tougher than it was last year, paired with them losing Charlie, could hurt them, at least for this season, in trying to keep up with the Chargers.
Well, when you take a look at these schedules, the schedules for the Chiefs and Chargers basically identical, except for the fact that the Chiefs have the Colts and the Steelers. Those are the two different games that they have. The Chiefs get the Steelers at home, go on the road to Indianapolis, which is always scary for the Chiefs. But the Chargers, they get Baltimore at home. Now, Baltimore, a decent team on the road last year. They were 5-3 on the road, so not a cupcake game for the San Diego Chargers. And you get Jacksonville, but you get them on the road. And it's a Monday Night Football game where you know they'll be jacked up, but I don't see a lot happening with Jacksonville this year, although it's a home crowd, it's a Monday Night game, it'll be lively. So there is those two games that are really pivotal between those two teams. And you know what? One game can really separate this division.
You know, I agree, and I really expect something similar to last year where they broke even and each won one game at home. That wouldn't surprise me if that happened. But going back to the schedule real quick, and this was a conversation I had with Joel in Las Vegas, which is it's really the second half of Kansas City's schedule that's very daunting. You know, they have to play in New England, then against Pittsburgh, then against the Bears, who were in the NFC Championship game last year, then against the Jets, then against Green Bay. I think that's 5 playoff teams in a row from last year, 4 of which were in their championship games last year. Then, obviously, the games against the Raiders and the Broncos late in the season, they could either be pushovers or, you know, those could be rough physical games. Whereas the Chargers, who typically finish strong, those games against the Jaguars and the Bills and the Lions, they come late in the season. So there's always going to be that possibility if the teams are right there with each other in the middle of the year that the Chiefs are going to have the tougher schedule going through the rest of the season, which bodes well for the Chargers, I think.
Yeah, you know, it gets brutal starting November 21st for the Chiefs at New England, Pittsburgh at home, then at Chicago, at New York Jets, then Green Bay, the world champs at home, Oakland at home. Oakland always gives Kansas City a run. And then at Denver to finish the season. Kansas City, you know, has had their troubles in Denver in the past. And you would think, you know, John Fox might have this team, you know, playing some good defense even this year. You're going to be playing them in January 1st out in Denver.
Yeah, at least, you know, for the Chargers, we get to play the Patriots really early, get that out of the way. We get to play the Jets before it's real cold in New York. And then we get the Packers, you know, before the middle of the season. Then after that, I don't want to say it's a cupcake schedule, but it gets much easier for us.
You know what, John? We were up at Chiefs camp last week and watching the practices going on. What is your take with San Diego with the training camp as far as has it been what it's been in the past? Or is it we call the Chiefs training camp Camp Cupcake because they don't seem to be doing a lot of hitting. It seems to be a lot more of conditioning.
Well, North Turner made a point today during a press conference of saying that the lack of two-a-days and, you know, the reduction on practices with pads on, basically a less physical environment so that the players can save their bodies up for the season, he saw that as being a detriment to the young players, to the rookies, saying it's harder for them to catch up because not everything is at full speed. So those guys, I guess, are a step behind. In terms of everything else with training camp, this is maybe the best training camp I've ever seen the Chargers have. Really, the only downside to it has been Marcus McNeil got minor surgery and has to miss 2 weeks of it, but he'll be back before the beginning of the season, should be healthy and fine. He caught up very quickly last year, but there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy. Things are going really quickly. There's a lot of bonds being made with players that were here and new players coming in. Guys like Takiyo Spikes and Bob Sanders are making good friends, becoming leaders. The new coaches are bringing new forms of practice, and that's making things exciting. There's a lot of new players and new coaches that are making things so different that everyone is getting very excited, and because of that, it's turning into better and more effective practicing, I think.
Norv Turner started off in San Diego. His current playoff record as a head coach, 4-4. His first 2 years in San Diego, he was 3-2 in the playoffs. So, won 3 playoff games his first 2 years. Hasn't won a playoff game since. Just the feeling of that transition from Marty Schottenheimer and obviously going to – I mean, you know, Marty was doing well. He just couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. And then North Turner, it seems like every year there's the North Turner watch. Is he going to be fired or is he not? Is North Turner still on the hot seat?
I don't think so. And it doesn't appear from the Chargers front office that he is. If you want to point at his playoff record and say, you know, he hasn't done much better than Marty, I would point Norv Turner's playoff record directly at LaDainian Tomlinson and say the last time that Norv Turner was winning playoff games, it was because LaDainian Tomlinson was still a factor. And once he got to the playoffs and started losing those games, it was because the running game would disappear because Tomlinson, he couldn't really play a 17th or 18th game in the season. He was too beat up by that point in the year. So I think that Norv is ready to take that jump. I think this team is better to do it because they're younger, they're stronger, they can handle 16 games and then some. And as far as comparing him to Marty Schottenheimer, the Chargers knew what a lot of Chiefs fans know, which is as good as Marty Ball was in the regular season, once he got to the playoffs, that was a flawed system, and it didn't really work, and Marty was never going to win a Super Bowl with it.
San Diego, number one in the NFL last year in total offense, but you do lose Darren Sproles. What will be that factor for the San Diego Chargers? You know, a guy that, you know, a third down specialist, as good as he was in the return game. And we know how bad San Diego's special teams were a season ago, but then you also lose Darren Sproles. What's kind of been the process, the mindset of losing a guy like that?
You know, I hate to say it because he's a really great guy in person. He's an excellent human being, and for what he is, he's a very good player. But what he is he's a third down running back and an average to above average kick returner. Darren Sproles has been highly overrated for a very long time. One of the reasons for that is that miraculous game he had against the Colts in the playoffs, where I think he had 327 yards by himself, scored the game winning touchdown, had a lot of kick and punt returns that went really long or went for touchdowns. So a lot of people saw that game. It was the only game on at the time. It was in prime time, I believe, on a Saturday night. So ever since then, there's been this belief that he's this incredible weapon that drives the San Diego offense, when in fact he's just another one of those tools that fits in. He's just as valuable as, you know, our third wide receiver, who doesn't see the field that often but is still a talented player. So for the money he got the last 2 years in San Diego and the money he got in New Orleans, he's overpaid and overvalued. They'll replace him in the kicking game with guys like Jordan Todman, who was drafted, Richard Goodman, who's an undrafted free agent last year, who is probably even faster than Darren Sproles, guys like Marcus Gilchrist, who was drafted this year. He's going to be replaced with several different players, but I don't think there's going to be any drop-off from Sproles to those players.
John, looking at your guys' rushing attack, Ryan Matthews, a guy who was highly touted out of Fresno State, didn't necessarily have the type of year I thought he would last year, but what kind of year do you think he'll have? And do you think, obviously going back to what you said about LaDainian, do you think that San Diego will overuse him?
No, and that's a big reason why they have Mike Tolbert, why they paid Mike Tolbert this year, why there's an emphasis on splitting carries between them in training camp, in practice. Norv has been very much emphasizing that these two guys will split carries. Matthews is going to get maybe a few more. Tolbert is going to get more goal line carries, of course, because he's the power running back and he's a little bit better at picking up touchdowns. And a big reason for that is they want to keep Ryan fresh for a long time. They want to give him fresh legs, make sure he doesn't get injured, and make sure that he's ready, should they get to the playoffs, to be that same back once he gets there.
What about special teams last year, John? Talking to John Gennaro, Bolts from theblue.com. What about special teams? Last year, the Kansas City took a kick back in the opening game, and we were excited about it with Dexter McCluster, but it turns out San Diego was historically bad last year on special teams.
Yeah, and historically bad is the correct word. They broke all sorts of records in terms of how bad their special teams were. I believe they gave up the most blocked punts in a season. I think they tied for the record for the most kick return touchdowns against them in a season. I heard someone make a very great point this morning, which is if the rule about kickoffs being from the 35 instead of the 30 was instituted 1 year earlier, the Chargers could have very well made the playoffs last year, because obviously that opening game against the Chiefs was factored by Dexter McCluster's return, They gave up two kick return touchdowns to the Seahawks in that game when Seattle didn't have much of an offense. So the Chargers, that rule right there meant one or two wins or losses for them last year, if not more. So that's going to help them in a big way. They fired their special teams coach and hired Rich Bisaccia from Tampa Bay, who's highly regarded as probably the best or one of the best special team coaches around the league. And he's come up, he's fired people up, he's got different drills, he's finding new talent out there and bringing them in. Special teams looks like it's no longer a problem. And really, we already had a great kicker. We already had a great punter. We had a great long snapper in David Finn, although he went down in the very beginning of last season, which is part of the reason we had the problems that we did. And the rest is supposedly being helped by Rich Bisaccia, and special teams should be fine this year.
You know, John, the Chiefs brought in Brandon Siler this year, coming in at linebacker for us, which is a position in need for the Chiefs. Tell us a little bit about Brandon Siler, and why did San Diego let him go?
You know, I really like Brandon Siler. I've always really liked Brandon Siler. He's a great leader. He's smart. He's a very strong player in goal line packages. You couldn't ask for a better linebacker. He has his weaknesses. He's not great in coverage. He's not a sideline-to-sideline guy. I don't want to call him slow, but he's not necessarily fast. And for the Chargers, it worked out very well to be Stephen Cooper's backup, because he was kind of the poor man Stephen Cooper. This year, Stephen Cooper has become the backup to Takiyo Spikes, and there was just no longer a need for him. So, you know, they floated a little bit of interest Brandon's way and said, if you can't find another home, we'll find a place for you here. There's another guy that, speaking of special teams, was great on special teams. But, you know, he got better offers, and one of them happened to be the Chiefs. And I wish he landed somewhere else, because I want him to turn into a starter and a really good player, because I think he has that in him. But, you know, right now he's a very young player with a lot of tools that just needs to be understood and put in the right place in the defense.
You know what? It's amazing. San Diego was a very good football team last year when you look at them on paper. Number one in offense, number one in total defense. You lose Ron Rivera. He goes and takes over for the Carolina Panthers as head coach. What will be the loss of Ron Rivera to this football team?
I don't want to say zero, but it's close to zero, and I'll explain why. Ron Rivera came in. He was our linebacker coach. Ted Cottrell got fired. Ron Rivera filled in for about half a season, and he was good, but he wasn't really good. He wasn't great. And in that offseason, he had the Chargers hire essentially his entire defensive staff that he had left in Chicago to be the defensive staff in San Diego. We got a new defensive line coach. We got a new secondary coach. We got a new linebacker coach. So all of his assistants came with him to San Diego. When he left for Carolina, all of those guys stayed because they're all still signed as part of the San Diego Chargers defensive staff. And Greg Minuski wanted to keep them because he realized that, you know, it's one of the best defensive line coaches in the league in Don Johnson. It's one of the best secondary coaches in the league in Steve Wilks. So all of the assisting coaches haven't changed, and there's no drop-off there. The only difference is going to be the way the defense is called and the philosophies behind it with Greg Minuski, and that seems to not be a problem. He's a guy that he was a defensive coordinator in San Francisco for a couple of years, but went to San Francisco after being with the Chargers for a few years. So he knows the rest of the staff. He knows some of the players that are here. And he brought with him Takiyo Spikes and Travis LeBoy. It's been a very easy transition from Ron Rivera to Greg Minuski. And we're hoping that that means that the defense stays at that high level.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year. Obviously, San Diego is statistically one of the best teams in the NFL, but they finished 9-7, and special teams played a big role in that. John Gennaro from San Diego, thank you for giving us a report on the San Diego Chargers. Look forward to talking to you throughout the season as we look forward to some Kansas City-San Diego matchups.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Anytime you guys want me, just give me a ring.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Checking in with San Diego there with John Gennaro, and we will check in with Andy Lindhall from KOA Denver to get perspective on the Denver Broncos and see how their camp is going, as well as we enter week two of the NFL preseason. Chiefs-Ravens this Friday night. Back at
Well, guys, let's see. What would Lenny say about the garage? Where in the hell is the garage located, guys?